Let's begin today's edition of CNV with this comment from Mike McIntosh.
So why is it that some people like to go back into their habits and their addictions and their lusts when they claim to have been born again? It's like, and it's kind of a gross picture, but Solomon said it's like a dog returning to its own vomit and eating it. Why?
And I'll stand up and shout.
Thanks for tuning in to Chapter and Verse Radio with Mike McIntosh. In Luke 24:17, it says, "And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad?" The disciples were sad because they believed their deliverance would not be fulfilled, but it had already happened. Often we fret and worry because we're waiting for God to show up and do something in our life. When we allow him into our life and come into his presence, we find he was already there, waiting, working, and directing. We look for him in the empty tomb instead of enjoying his company as we travel the road to our next destination. Remember, he is risen. He is here. Now, let's join Mike for the conclusion to our study, the last chapter from the book of Mark.
And maybe the Lord's asking that of you. What are you doing here? What's your purpose? Why are you hanging on to this from your past? What are you doing here in this relationship or this investment? I get so many emails. At any given time, I've got over 4,000 unanswered. Just when I get through 100 of them, there's another 1,000. You can never get through them all. But I get all these things. Invest in marijuana now, you'll be a millionaire by the end of 2019. And people are making 300%, 400%, 500% profits off of their investments in the new marijuana birds. But I don't want to stand. I'd love to be wealthy and have some money. That'd be nice to have extra. But I don't want to stand in front of God and him show me all the people that I paid to invest in them getting stoned and getting killed in auto accidents or gang fights or knifed by their husband or their wife. Why would I want to invest in something that's a sure deal that destroys people? You know, you can ask this question to yourself the rest of your life. What am I doing here? Do I belong in this situation? And if you're a DMV, you can probably ask that 5 or 10 times. What am I doing here? Why am I waiting so long? So what am I doing here? What's my purpose for life? And then, of course, we see that the Lord brought the angels at the birth of Jesus and filled the heavens with music. And they went to Bethlehem and they announced his birth. They announced his resurrection. And then how about Acts 1? They were on the Mount of Olives, standing there looking up as Jesus ascended into heaven. And the angels stood beside him. "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here staring and looking up? This same Jesus is going to come in the same manner." And Zechariah tells us he comes right back to the Mount. And when his right foot touches the Mount, an earthquake takes place. And he's back. Or how about the 10th chapter? I've always loved that. That Peter is asleep on a roof in Joppa, which is a nice beach town. And he's out there. He's at a man's house who is named Simon, the tanner. I don't think that meant he was a beach tanner. He was a tanner of hides. But a vision comes, and all these creepy crawlies that Leviticus says we shouldn't touch or eat, God says, "Take and eat." And he says, "Oh, not so, Lord. These are unclean." I like it in the Living New Testament, which is nothing but a paraphrase, but I've always enjoyed, if you want good chuckles, go back from a good translation and read that. He said, "But God is called kosher. Don't knock it." Okay, right. Or Elijah by the brook Cherith. He says he gets up there and leaves there and goes, and they're going to bring fire down from the altar. And so they're going almost half a day, cutting themselves with rocks, all the priests of the devil. And so he walks them, says, "Okay, you've had your time. Where's your God? Is he resting? Is he on a vacation? And in the King James, it actually says, is he purloining? I thought, that's a really strange word. What in the world would purloining mean? And the Living New Testament answered my question. Is your God, the devil, resting? Is he on a faraway vacation? Is he sitting on the toilet? That's what purloining meant. That tells you how he intimidated the devil's priest. I mean, he just didn't hold anything back. He just said it like it was. So how about that, the commander of the troops up in Caesarea has had a vision, and angels have come to him. Don't forget to entertain strangers, the New Testament says, for the believer yourself, because you may entertain angels unaware. Now, if they're trying to sell you something from the Jehovah's Witness, these are bad angels. But when you're kind, you may be being kind to an angel, and God will take note of that. We know about the angels, that Satan took one-third of them out of heaven. They came down here. We know that Peter had an angel come and loose his hands and his feet and got him out of the stocks and took him out the front door of the prison. And when he opened his eyes, he realized he wasn't dreaming, that this was real. An angel was there for him in prison. And then, I love it, in Revelation 19:17, we see this. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. Wow. Thousands of degrees. And he shouted with a loud voice. I think I'd shout with a loud voice if I was standing in the sun too. Yikes! So he's up there. But the person on earth, John, who wrote this, heard the angel's voice from 93 million miles away. And sound travels about 750 miles an hour, but light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So what he heard was probably some day-old news. And then there's another one. It's in the 14th chapter, the 6th verse of Revelation. And there was an angel circling the earth, proclaiming the gospel to those down below. And then, in the end times, Jesus said, Matthew 24, do not separate the wheat from the chaff or the weeds, because you may inadvertently pull up the good wheat, but the angels will do that. So the angels can discern, and they can look into a church or to a situation and see who the good and the bad are, and he'll separate it. And then the angels are singing and worshiping and honoring God around his throne. So turn to Isaiah 52 as we prepare our hearts to worship this Jesus of Nazareth that is resurrected from the dead. Let our emotions go into his hands and into his heart as we think of what he has done for us tonight. And I'll read to you, and we'll partake first of the bread. This is Isaiah 52. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you were sold for nothing. That's a picture of us. We sold ourselves out for nothing, really, before we accepted him. And you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now, therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continuing all the day My name is despised. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Isn't that amazing? And when the Muslims, the jihadists, claim Jerusalem, their holy book doesn't even mention Jerusalem once. But just this one verse about Zion, about Israel, about Jerusalem, your God reigns. This was God's city, spoken of over 660 times in the Bible, never once in the Quran. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice together, they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord in Zion. Break forth together into singing, and I'll ask the worship team to come on out and we'll start singing. You waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the nations are looking right at Israel tonight. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So God's going to show himself soon. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go out in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Notice he's the God of Israel, and people are trying to take his land away from him every day, all week long. As many, he was pierced for our transgressions. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and he shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. His face was so badly beaten, you couldn't tell that he's a human. Now, when Saeed Abedini was in prison in Iran, the pastor from Idaho, I spoke to his mother one night, and she said she'd go see him on Wednesdays, and a few weeks earlier, she'd gone, and the guard brought in a man and set him against the wall, and after 20 minutes, she asked, where's my son? What's your son's name? Saeed Abedini. Well, this is him right here. And she brought him down and set him right across from her. She could not tell what her son had gone through. He was so badly beaten. How badly would my face have to be beaten so you couldn't recognize? You could recognize me, the broken nose, black and blue eye, scars, blood. But how badly would it be that you couldn't recognize me as a human being? Jesus took that because of your sins and my sins. We deserve that beating, each one of us. To him who is forgiven much, he loves much. But to the person who feels they're a good person and didn't really have to be saved from anything, they love very little. The fact that we're never going to have to spend eternity in hell is enough for us to be on fire 24 hours a day, doing all we can for God's kingdom. And the lack of zeal is a lack of love, because the motivation isn't there. But when you see him standing here with a face so badly beaten, he was pierced. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for that which was not told to them as kings. They never heard about the resurrection. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before us like a young plant, like a root out of the ground. He had no form or comeliness, or some translations say, or majesty. Otherwise, when we see Jesus, he's going to be what we would be, the scars of sin. He has no comeliness, no form that we should look at him. No beauty that we should even desire him. He was despised, rejected by men. He is a man of sorrows, and I know all of you have had sorrow. He's acquainted with grief, and I know that all of us are acquainted with grief. Thank good God, our Savior, knows what you've gone through. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we didn't esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yes, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one of us to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of our people, my people. And they made his grave, that tomb, with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit found in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, and he has put him to grief. When a soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and out of the anguish of his soul shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, you and me tonight, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, in closing, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he is numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Oh Lord, as we bow our hearts before you, we are the transgressors. We are the people filled with grief and sorrow. We are the people that deserve that wicked, horrible beating and that whipping. And yet, Isaiah says that it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Tonight, as we take of this bread, would you remind us of the body of Jesus that was broken for us, for our sins and transgressions? Would you bless us as we're honest with you right now, Lord, and we take of this bread in the name of Jesus? And if you'd all hold your bread till we've all been served, we'll partake together. And if you have never asked the Lord into your life, I would encourage you not to take communion. Because in the New Testament it says many of you are sick and you're eating and drinking damnation under your own soul by taking communion. Otherwise, if you've never accepted the forgiveness of God through his Son Jesus, you are condemning yourself by acknowledging his body was broken, his blood was shed in communion. So Paul warns people in the first century, don't take communion if you're not a believer, because if you die in your sin and you stand before God, he will say, you just judged yourself. You acknowledged the bread was his body, the cup was his blood. So the best thing to do is to ask God to forgive you of your sins tonight and gladly and joyfully partake of the bread and the cup. To surrender your heart before God, a purity that only God can bring to us through his forgiveness. So as we hold the bread, Jesus did it at what we know as the Last Supper. And he took the bread and he broke it and blessed it. It's exactly what he did on the mountain when he fed the 5,000. He broke it and blessed it. From that, my early days, I realized if I wanted to be a blessed man, I have to be a broken man. I want the blessings of God. He said, this is my body. It's broken for you. Take, eat. So as you take and eat, ask him for everything you can right now about people you love that need some help tonight. Special power from heaven. And at the same time, how many friends? I imagine being the hundreds for a crowd like this. People that we're acquainted with, we work with, we surf with, we shop with, we eat with, who have never bowed their knee to the Lord and asked forgiveness. May they be broken so they can be blessed. So this is a wonderful time to thank God for what his son Jesus did for us. And thank God for these people you're going to pray for right now. The awesome respect of God. Communion, communing with God. In like manner, Jesus took the cup and he held it up. Says, this is the cup of the New Testament. This is my blood that is shed for many. As often as you partake of this, do it in remembrance of me. So as we pass the cup, if you'll all wait till we've been served, we'll partake together. But during this time as we sing and worship, what a great time to just ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins and to use this for his honor and his glory. You're never too young, you're never too old to be used by the Lord. So we want to be used. We want to serve God with a glad heart because we see what he's done for us. And most Christians that are not in a persecuted country see the luxury and the comfort more than they see the humility and the brokenness. So this cup represents the sinless blood of Jesus, the only type of blood ever on planet Earth. It is that blood, without the DNA of Joseph, but that of God, that was shed for you. A tremendous price was paid for you. Satan will give you all you want for a season in exchange for your soul. Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. For what shall a man pay for his soul if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What price does a man get for his soul? Some sell out for billions. Some sell out for drugs. They sell out their soul, which is so important, it's eternal. And it's a serious thing when you think that blood was shed and technically we murdered God's son because of our sins. And to be grateful will allow your heart to always stay young and to grow in the Lord.
That's Mike McIntosh with the conclusion to our series from Mark's Gospel. Our prayer is that these weekday studies help you to realize just how much God loves you and wants to have a personal relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time as we continue to study God's Word with Mike Macintosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.